This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of the Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is the Rich Eisen Show. Rich Eisen Show.
The Pistons want a foul call.
From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
It appears inadvertently tripped by Allen.
He trips him when he's going for a loose ball. In a game situation, that's tough.
Earlier on the show, Steelers Radio Network host Jerry Dulac. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Basketball Hall of Famer Chris Webber. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Let's take your phone calls over the next couple of hours, shall we? Chris Webber, top of hour number three, as the Detroit Pistons of his home state of Michigan deep trouble. Deep end of the Eastern Conference semifinal pool right now, having lost three in a row after a 2-0 lead on the Cleveland Cavaliers, who are suddenly getting vintage James Harden, vintage regular season James Harden, vintage not game seven James Harden.
Vintage not closing.
Yeah, right. Well, they're going to have to close at home. Yeah. We'll see what Chris has to think about the momentum switching there. Spurs trying to close out the Timberwolves, and obviously the drama that's going on down the street with the Los Angeles Lakers and the future of LeBron James in the NBA, certainly with that franchise, all that with Chris Webber. The NFL schedule shall get released in full later on tonight. We've got Andy Reid scheduled to be on tomorrow's program to help go over the Kansas City Chiefs schedule that reportedly includes a Thanksgiving night game in Buffalo, in Orchard Park, New York, in the Bills' new stadium. We already know there's a Monday night opener for the Kansas City Chiefs on ESPN at home against the Broncos. Big way to start the season there. So Andy's on Friday's program. I will not be on Friday's program, as I am taking off to go interview Dan Patrick in the state of Connecticut.
Yes,
I'm going to his spot for This Was Sports Center, the new show that I am hosting for Disney Plus and the ESPN family of digital networks, where I'm interviewing old school friends of mine from back in the day. And Dan is going to be the first one up, debuting on June the 5th, as we're just beginning to get this caper put together. So I'll be out of the chair leaving tonight. So that's what's going on. Susie Schuster sitting in for Chris Brockman, who left last night to be a celebrity in Kevin Rahm's celebrity tournament in support of St. Jude Children's
Very
Research
famous.
Hospital.
Very famous.
He's a celebrity. He's a celebrity. And we're slagging on Chris all day today, which he loves when he's not here. How are you, Suze? What's going on? You good over there?
Yeah.
Jason Feller, good to see you.
Hey. Wondering how I'm going to keep the house rolling this weekend without you.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, you won't notice much of a difference, probably.
I always notice the difference.
Okay.
You're a very hands-on dad.
So we're about to get to what's more likely. I've got a what's more likely to start. TJ, what's more likely?
Okay.
The two boxes. I said two boxes.
Okay.
I said 2 p.m.
of donuts.
Okay.
That Susie brought for the crew here. And she always does whenever she appears here.
She's good like
or
that.
Or shows up here. Or, and today, how many shows are you doing today, Susie? How many?
Two.
How many?
How many
two.
Shows? You said?
She said two shows.
Two shows. That's what she's doing.
Women's. I said two.
Well, actually, that's at 6 p.m.
6 p.m.
Women's
Two shows at 6 p.m.
At 6 p.m. What's more likely? The donuts are for you to eat or for me to eat?
Oh, they're for everyone but you, I think. Not just me, but everyone but you.
Suze?
Why are you looking at me like that? You can do whatever you want.
I know that.
You're a grown man.
I have free will. I understand that.
Does
also,
he?
Don't eat the donuts. They're not for you.
Right. Two boxes.
Two?
I have to every time I walk in the back.
I mean, you are a grown man.
I
if you want a donut,
I understand that.
Grab a donut.
But she's right, you know. She's right. You're right. I'm going to stop talking about like you're not here.
It's like a Fredo thing.
Huh?
If this feels like Fredo.
What do you mean?
Like, I want the donuts. I'm smart.
Smart, Mike.
Take the donuts. Take the donuts, Rich.
Okay.
Donuts.
Thank you
It
very
tastes
much.
Great, in case you're wondering.
What do you have? Which
What'd
one?
You have?
Oh, I always go for the maple.
Me too.
You're having them.
And by me too, I mean I took pieces of plastic off.
Yeah, you're just taking a little bit. Suze is the queen of like ordering all sorts of desserts at dinner for the table and then not having a single one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she wants everyone else to be content.
I'm aware of that. Except me. Except when it comes to the desserts.
Yeah.
Very good.
You said, can I get some?
Oh my God,
she said, you can't get none.
So Chris isn't in the scene, and suddenly this is some kind of attack on my...
No, it's not an attack.
Wifery?
It's called speaking the truth. But thank you for the donuts on behalf of everybody but me.
You're welcome.
Yeah, okay. It's time for the rest of What's More Likely, brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors.
What's more likely?
Never say never, but never.
All right, it's time for What's More Likely, presented by Pella Windows and Doors. And before he went out the door to be a celebrity in Kevin Rahm's celebrity golf tournament,
really
support of St. Jude Children's Research Hospital, Chris Brockman left behind a What's More Likely, presented by Pella Windows and Doors. Suze, you have the floor.
Yeah, the first one is What's More Likely?
Uh-oh.
You eat whatever you want, and I usually find the wrappers in your car. Or you really listen to what I have to say about stuff like that?
I don't know. There's a little bit of both.
Right.
So, yeah, it's probably the eat whatever I want and you find the wrappers in the car.
All right.
A weird one from Chris.
That, you know, it's funny.
What would Chris know about what's happening in my car? That's very weird.
Yeah, that was the first one he wrote. I thought, like, maybe stick with the NFL.
Okay.
Stay in your lane.
Okay.
Hey, guys, how are you?
Hey, Suze.
Hey.
Good to see you, yo.
How are you? Okay, reportedly, here's the opening stateside game week one. Super Bowl team to miss the playoffs this season, Seahawks or Patriots?
Yeah, I heard about this game potentially being reportedly the first one. I always thought it was going to be Bears-Seahawks. Jesus. I know why he puts me in these positions right here. Because it's neither. Come on now. And he knows that he thinks that Drake May is going to take another step forward. And he knows that A.J. Brown is coming. So he's going to get that going for him, which is nice. But just because he's not here to defend himself, which is my favorite sport, I'll go Patriots.
All right.
So and he knows that he's putting me in a position with you and with Cooper. And your entire side of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll go Patriots. And he also knows if I say Seahawks, then yesterday I already put the Seahawks third on my power rankings, and he thinks that I'm in the trash heap with the 12s to begin with. So this is what he does. This is his revenge for me to slag on him when he's not here.
He's needling you, Rich.
He is.
Getting in there.
I'll take the Patriots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Better record heading into Thanksgiving, the Eagles or the Cowboys?
I'm going to say it's your Dallas Cowboys. I'm going to keep doubling and tripling down on this, TJ.
I'm with it.
I still just need to know what the Eagles' offensive coordinator is going to do with Jalen Hurts that's different than any other new offensive coordinator not named Kellen Moore or Shane Steichen's come in. Now, as you know, it's usually the every other year thing for them. But I put the Cowboys above the Eagles in my way, way, way too early power rankings.
Way times three.
And I'm going to go with the Dallas Cowboys. I think they're going to have the better record heading into that game. Whether they're going to have the better record at the end of the season is anybody's guess. But I'll go Dallas on this front.
I'm not mad at that.
Good question.
I know
you're heading into your conversation with Andy Reid on the show tomorrow.
Thank you.
Talking about the Thanksgiving night game, who's more likely to get back to the AFC Championship game, the Bills or the Chiefs?
I'll go Chiefs. Yeah.
I don't think that's a shock to anyone.
Why? The Bills are the ones that almost made the AFC Championship game last year.
Not to
the
pick
Bills
up
are the ones that are probably improving.
It.
The Bills are the ones that are going to have a new home there, and I have no idea.
We know
if this if the train whistles there are actually going to be more intense. We have no idea. That's the cool thing about the Bills' X factor this year is this new stadium. I imagine they have created it to make it louder. I bet you the design of this stadium is to make it louder. And we have no idea what that's going to look like. And Josh Allen is now a daddy. The power of fatherhood.
It's coming for your crown.
But I'm still going the Chiefs, man. I still think they're a very talented roster. And Mahomes coming back with a chip on his shoulder and a new knee. I kind of dig it.
Now you pissed off the producer.
I know I did, but Hoskins is sweet, and he's got his playoff beard, which makes him look more intimidating than ever.
It does.
He looks great.
I like the beard.
Do you like it's his Buffalo Sabres playoff beard.
I know. Okay. He looks great. Thanks. I went down on that one to show that I really mean it.
Okay, very good.
He said that.
They play on Thanksgiving Eve, these two teams. Who are more likely to win their division this season, the Packers or your Rams?
Why are you saying my Rams?
You're a very passionate Rams.
That's what Cooper keeps saying to me.
Well, he would know.
The Rams are an easy team to root for.
Rich, you love the Rams.
I love
Matthew Stafford.
I do indeed. I voted him for MVP.
You love
right.
Less. Like you are a passionate Rams.
Okay. What's more like their division this year? Packers or Rams? I will go Rams. They're number one on my power rankings. I'm going to keep doubling and tripling down.
That's easy, then.
I'm going to keep doubling and tripling. I'm going to go Rams. What else you got over there, Suze?
Rich, who's the quarterback to have the better 2026? Is it Bo Nix or Aaron Rodgers?
Oh, I'll go Bo Nix. I'll say Bo Nix. I'm eager to see what's going on with Jalen Waddle, man, and him. I think that's going to be really good. And R.J. Harvey, I think, is going to take a step forward. And I think this offense is going to be better. Obviously, the X factors here is how Nix comes back from that ankle surgery. And then, of course, how does it look with Sean Payton apparently not calling the plays? But, yeah, I will do that. I'll go with the young buck rather than the OG. Of Pittsburgh, who's still not there. What else?
You've been talking about these international games with the Bengals and the Falcons.
I have can Madrid. Confirm that I'm talking about it.
What's more likely? Who's going to finish top five in MVP voting this year? Joe Burrow or Bijan Robinson? That's a good one.
Boy, Bijan Robinson. Top five in MVP voting. I'll go Burrow. I'm going to go with the quarterback. Clearly, I'll go with the quarterback. I'll go with Burrow.
Joe Burr.
I'm going to go Joe Burr. Yeah. I'm going to go Joe Burr and the Bengals. And this is obviously an international game. This will be a matchup that the folks in Madrid will see.
But haven't we spoken about you thinking...
I'll go with Jose Burrow. What?
Haven't we spoken about you thinking Bijan's going to take that next level step?
I do think so, but to go ahead and crack the MVP top five?
I mean, yeah.
That's a tall order for a running back.
I still say we should just call it the most valuable quarterback.
I understand that.
Right.
As you know, the quarterbacks get the MVPs and the running backs or receivers get the offensive players of the year. Like, that's the way it is definitely shaping up.
So the quarterbacks get the cheerleaders and the MVPs. Okay. I mean, that's not fair.
What else you got over there,
not
Suze?
Fair at all.
And Joe Burrow is going to always bring his fashion sense. So will he dress as a matador coming in?
I like it. Look at you.
Thank you.
I would like that.
Try to be a factor. All right, what's more likely to be the highest number? OKC losses this playoff or Rory McIlroy major wins this year?
Oh, gosh. Higher number will be Oklahoma City losses in the playoffs. I mean, seriously, it's a good question. As you know, Rory's going for back-to-back majors this very week. PGA Championship, friends at ESPN, checking it out. Lots to talk about. It's happening round number one as we speak. I'll go Oklahoma City losses in the playoffs. I think, don't you think that the Spurs are going to give them a series? And then the Knicks could be able to take a couple games from them?
I think any one of the teams left has a great probability.
Don't you think?
Yeah.
Okay. Even Cleveland?
I tell you, I said this about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, high register.
I admit, I didn't watch a whole lot of Cleveland games this year. But as the playoffs have gone and I've watched this team play, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, man. Yeah. It's a Harden factor, right?
Yes.
He's got to do it in one of these next two games for his legacy.
Legacy.
To get everybody off of his
back. Well,
then
he'll be in Madison Square Garden for an Eastern Conference Finals as the road team in the entire series. So
yeah, but I think James Harden is looked at as one of the top, you know, greatest scorers, obviously, and players. But he has this thing that when the moment's there, he does not step up. He's got a chance to rewrite his own history.
I'll go Oklahoma City.
How many times has he let you down that you're still like even?
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I'm not necessarily like I've been beat down too much.
Oh yeah,
but
I'm hurt.
Right,
but, like because I had it with the Clippers and the Sixers.
Yeah.
I'm just saying for James Harden, like he needs to come through in a huge way.
Yeah. Speaking, I mean, you would know, again, being a Clipper and a Sixer fan and a man who also has the same beard.
It's true.
You got one more over there, Suze?
I mean, I've got a bunch more, but I mean, I can go in different directions here. I mean, do you want to
just keep going?
Do we have time? We've got time. Who's the team down? What's more likely, the team down 3-2 to force a game 7, Wolves or Pistons?
Pistons.
Yeah.
What else?
You said that real quick.
I did.
Who's more likely to win the National League Cy Young, Paul Skeens or Shohei Ohtani?
I don't understand. He thinks he should start giving up pitching, and he's saying he's in.
No, he's going both ways on this one.
I'll go Skeens. Yeah. I'll go Paul Skeens. Skeens is unbelievable. Although his ERA at 1.97 or 9.8 right now is a full run more than Ohtani's. But
17 strikeouts, 0 runs in
May. What if Ohtani doesn't win MVP this year but wins Cy Young instead?
Could you imagine?
By the way, it's so stupid how it's a real thing that's happening right now. And he wants it to be discontinued because it affects his hitting. Get out of here.
He's a Maynard. Come on. He's got to be contrarian.
Okay, very good. I like it.
Maynard.
Is it? You have any more? Is that it?
That's it.
Oh.
Oh.
Well, I mean, it's time for me to do the read then.
That's it.
What's More Likely is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors always have the winning game plan. That's why your neighbors trust them. Visit Pella.com/Eisen. All right, before we get to Tommy P, Jimmy in San Antonio wants to chime in right here. Jimmy G here. I took the road team to be more likely to force a game 7, Detroit in Cleveland, rather than the T-Wolves at home against your Spurs. Did you hear that, Jimmy?
That's because you're a Michigan man.
Thank
you're
you, sir.
You're not dumb.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. What's up, Jimmy?
Well, obviously, I have to say hello to Suze. Let's not be rude, Rich.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hi, nice Suze. To chat
How
with
are you? I'm great. How are you, Jimmy?
I'm doing well. I'm packing up for 4 days at the lake house with my dog, Bex. We're going camping.
God, that sounds so nice. What kind of dog is Bex, Jimmy?
Half pit, half boxer.
Yeah, perfect. Have a great weekend.
Yeah.
That sounds delightful.
She's, by the way, those aren't great camping breed dogs. That's why we're practicing at the lake house. Because she'll run off and she gets distracted easy. We got to focus here, Bex. Come on.
Jimmy, is Bex named after David Beckham?
And Becky Hammond. I combined both of their nicknames, Bex.
Jimmy, San I like that Antonio. So much.
Look at us tracking it down. What's on your mind?
Well, obviously, Suze, I have to give a shout-out to Fernando Mendoza because we obviously have cohered.
Nice.
And I don't want Rich jealous of our cohering or whatever Fernando Mendoza said with his diverse vocabulary.
Yeah, I know. I didn't even know that was a word until he's used it. It's impressive. He's the first quarterback to teach me a word in my 23 years being with NFL Network.
Extensive.
Are we talking Wemby or what?
Yeah, man. Right?
Okay. Here's what I've learned about this kid watching him and, you know, growing up in our city, because he is growing up in our city. Do not piss him off. He plays, and he can go to another level. And do not hope that he does not feel like he let his teammates down, because when he comes back from that, it's on. And he takes it to another level. For a 22-year-old, it's amazing to watch the progression of this guy and his maturity within his first playoff run.
Jimmy, I am so with you. He is exactly what this league needs, this association needs, which is international star. Okay.
Yeah.
Fan curiosity, just to see him when he comes into town. You got to just see him. Like, what does he look like in person?
We've already had Rich fans from Japan.
I bet.
France, all over the world, coming to San Antonio just to see Wimby for like a two-game stretch over the weekend or something like that.
I bet. You also want to see him bring the ball up the floor. You want to see him dunk it from the free throw line without taking more than one step. You want to see him shoot threes. You want to see him do all of that. And then he cares about every regular season game. In a world in which we're talking about tanking and anti-tanking rules and how many ping pong balls and relegation zones, this guy, yeah, when he loses game 56, treats it like he has lost a game 6 in the playoffs.
Yeah, I guess a lot of young players coming into the league, to be honest, are like, well, damn it, now I have to step it up because this guy who can dominate all of us cares every night.
And he doesn't flop. He doesn't flop. He doesn't tank. He's unbelievable. He's exactly what the doctor ordered for the moment, Jimmy.
Well, it's hard to flop because it takes so far to fall.
Nice. And good one.
He shouldn't do that.
Enjoy your weekend with Bex, sir.
I will. Susie, you have a great weekend, too.
Thanks. Don't forget to watch Women's Sports Now, please. Jimmy. You can watch it at the Lake House, right?
6 p.m. Eastern.
That's
great.
It.
Yes, please.
Yes. That's it. There goes
thanks, Jimmy.
Jimmy in San Antonio.
Nailed it.
They did. Nailed it. Very good. Good job.
Wow, that Jimmy didn't
completely
say
ignoring
yep.
the other half of the room.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Now that the draft is in the books, teams are focused on developing future franchise players, fresh starts, and fine-tuning their final rosters. When it comes to your home, Pella Windows and Doors is a choice you can trust, with experts who find the right products for your needs and then install them with care. Discover why Pella Windows and Doors is a trusted choice for homeowners everywhere. Visit Pella.com/Eisen today. That's Pella.com/Eisen. Make life brighter with Pella Windows and Doors. We take a break. This man makes our life brighter.
Tommy.
Look at him with the mug and everything. Tommy P coming up.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in an all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA-estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters. And so does comfort. Just make sure they keep their cleats off the seats. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details. Rich Eisen here. You ever notice what happens when something big rolls into your city? A major tournament, a can't-miss concert, a high-stakes playoff game. Suddenly, fans are everywhere. It feels like everyone's trying to get in. Streets are packed. Hotels book up fast. And finding a place to stay? Not so easy. That's exactly why this can be a smart moment to think about your own space. If you're planning to be away, you can list your space on Airbnb while all of that's going on and earn some extra cash at the same time. You're not changing your routine. You're just making the most of the moment. From my years on the road, I can tell you what people are looking for during these big events. A comfortable home base. Something that feels like their own space in the middle of all the action. And when options are limited, places like yours could really stand out. So if you've ever thought about listing your space, this is a great time to give it a shot. When your city is at its busiest, your home could be exactly what someone is looking for. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. The NFL schedule dropped, and it is time to settle up, people. There's road trips to plan, hotels to book, tickets to split, tailgates to cover, scores to settle. All the things for the season. But now, when you send $10 or more to a friend with PayPal by May 28th, you could win two tickets to every home game of your favorite team. Yep, the whole season. Visit paypal.com/P2PSweeps. No purchase necessary. See website for details, including how to enter by mail. Brought to you by PayPal, official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL.
Tom Pelissero back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Our radio audience has returned. So what's the story? Oh, let's go. Let's start with Malik Nabers. He had a cleanup of his knee. Tom, what's going on?
So Malik Nabers, from my understanding, the original injury was a torn ACL as well as a meniscus. So that's not an uncommon, crazy type of an injury, but it can have an extended type of a recovery. At some point in the process, there were just some hurdles in his rehab. He was experiencing stiffness in the knee. What they did, and this was not like yesterday, this was 3 or 4 weeks ago, I'm told, they did a procedure to clean up the scar tissue just to try to, you know, get some better mobility into that knee. Does not sound like that has set him back a significant amount. The hope is still that he's ready to roll in week one. You never want to hear about one of your young star players having one knee surgery, much less multiple procedures on the knee, but does not sound like this is cause for great concern given the fact that we're still about 4 months away from playing football.
So you think week one, no big deal. Let's clean it up. He'll be out there. That's what you're hearing on that front?
Well, if the procedure was, again, I was told 3 to 4 weeks ago, so you're talking about 5 months from all that right to early September when the season is beginning here. It seems like everything's on track. That's what I have been told here. Certainly worth monitoring just in terms of how they bring him along, what his reps look like, what his explosion looks like when he gets back out there doing football drills, but I wouldn't push the panic button on Malik Nabers.
All right, then. Let's not push any panic buttons. What else is happening in this world we should be talking about or knowing about?
NFL, well, we got schedule right release, Rich. Yeah. This is now.
Look at us.
It is finally the halt. This is the fourth day of the holiday. You're lighting the candles so you can get the final one lit now.
Oh, it's always a little weird, Tom. I have no idea. Because I was saying the drip, drip, drip is similar to a movie trailer that you see and you're like, I've seen the movie. Why do I need to now, you know, I just saw the trailer pretty much and it's the movie. So why do I need to see the movie now? You're saying it's the Hanukkah of sports.
That's right. And the biggest present, if I am familiar with the culture, would come tonight. And that is the other 257 games that have not yet been announced. Here's one interesting thing, and I've heard this more this year than ever before. There is, let's just say, some frustration among some teams about the international slate and specifically when teams learned they have to go and play overseas. This time of year has to be the most frustrating week for football operations people around the NFL, because the announcements on the home teams, okay, for some of these games, for instance, the Saints knew they were playing the first ever Paris game. They found out in like January. The 49ers found out they were going to Mexico City Super Bowl week in, you know, late January, early February. But their opponents did not. The Steelers found out on Tuesday, hey, remember last year you went to Ireland to play the first game there? This year we're sending you to play the first game in Paris. So good luck. We're announcing it tomorrow morning. Do you want to, you know, make a comment on this? The Vikings, who last year became the first team ever to play back-to-back international games in two different countries, found out on Tuesday, hey, we're announcing tomorrow morning you're going to Mexico City and play the 49ers. And that's not to say these teams or the Colts find it out after they played overseas. I think in Germany last year, now you're going to London. They found that out on Tuesday. It's not that the teams don't want to go on these trips. If you're the Vikings, for instance, Mexico City is basically the same distance as San Francisco. You actually don't even have to leave your time zone. It's still a road game because the 49ers are huge in Mexico, but it's not that different. It's more just the matter of, okay, it's all the operational things of going back to a city that, yes, the NFL has been to, but that team hasn't been to before. And hey, didn't we earn a little something last year when we played those two games overseas? You wouldn't anticipate you have another one. Yet here it is. The Vikings find out on Tuesday you're going to play a week 11 against the 49ers in Mexico City. This is going to become, Rich, the norm for years to come. We know Roger Goodell has said repeatedly the ultimate goal is to have every team playing one game overseas. Right now, under the collective bargaining agreement, that would require some horse trading. Of course, they'll be back at the table sometime later. My belief, just me, no one has told me this, but my belief is ultimately teams may be playing two games per year overseas, just because if you're playing that many, it makes sense to have pods, reduce the travel, establish those markets with multiple games instead of one. But this is going to be a core part, you know, of the next collective bargaining negotiation, which is going to be coming up in the coming years. If you're going to go to 18 games, is it one international game? Is it two? Right now, where it's the only thing the players get if they play multiple international games in a single year, is a $5,000 stipend. That's your bonus for going and playing a second international game. You get $5,000.
Hey, it's better than zero.
Okay.
$1,000, you know, but I hear what you're saying. And it is for teams a logistical question in the world of controllables, control what you can control. You just, you know, you play them where you play them, what have you. But the scenes there, when you get there, when you get to these places and the games, they are lit.
No doubt that
will be a you know, Steelers and Saints in Paris is going to be significant. And, you know, obviously, you never know what the games are going to be until you get there with the, in terms of the record and what they're going to be. Thanksgiving also same way, but you could clearly see that the NFL feels like they got a nice taste of putting a huge game on Thanksgiving last year, and the rating broke, smashed everything. You get the sense they want to break every record in the books. They're going for 60 million when they put the Eagles and the Cowboys on Fox in the middle of a Thanksgiving day, Tom. That's for sure.
There's no doubt, and I believe it's Lions Bears that are going to be in the early game that day. So you're talking about two huge divisional matchups. Not to mention the night before, you've got the Packers Rams game now on Thanksgiving Eve, the national biggest day for bars across America. Now will also be packed with NFL fans watching those games. So you want to talk about lit? There will be some people getting lit while watching the Packers and the Rams. It's all part of, you know, the broader strategy for the NFL. They've never espoused the idea of, well, we need to be playing seven nights a week. You know, it's not the NBA where they got seven different partners and, hey, your primed games on this day and NBC Peacock games are this day. But they are taking some parts of that model, which is any other places they can find to put a game where they feel like it's going to be advantageous, where you can draw a big audience with a big game. You don't know. I mean, you could be putting the Chiefs, Rich, on Christmas like you do every year, and then last year all of a sudden, hey, they're eliminated and, you know, this game doesn't mean anything. Those are the chances that you take. That's some of the unknowns with scheduling those games late in the calendar, but when it hits, it has the you know, the potential to be something really big.
All right, so what else jumps out at you from the schedule release, Tom? I'll give you the open floor on that.
Well, clearly, you know, the fact that you're opening up in Melbourne, we've known that for a while, with a divisional game between the 49ers and the Rams. That's a pretty, you know, substantial type of a thing. The fact that you have a Chiefs-Broncos game in primetime in week one. Not to say, I think that it's overstated sometimes, the NFL has inside information on who's playing and what guy's going to sign with what team, but you certainly wouldn't think the NFL would want to be putting a Justin Fields versus Jarrett Stidham game in week one. It would seem to suggest they're pretty confident about Patrick Mahomes, whose goal has been to be out there in week one, and Bo Nix, who, again, another guy who had a second procedure in the offseason, but it sounds like everything is going in the right direction. You know, Sean Payton sometimes can be liberal with the truth, but in this case, it sounds like everything he said at his podium session the other day was true, that Bo Nix should be ready to roll. They'll be delicate with him through OTAs, but he should be ready to go for the season. Sometimes you get those little types of you know, indications that help. I mean, there's so many storylines, Rich, in this offseason. So many quarterbacks and star players coming back from injuries. You got the opening of Highmark Stadium, which is going to be, you know, the first game on Thursday night, prime in week two against the Lions, and all the history, you know, with those teams. Like, there's a ton of fun stuff on the schedule. And again, let me remind you, it may feel like we know the whole schedule, and if you're following the unofficial leaks, you may have half of it at this point. But we do officially have 257 more games that will be announced tonight on ESPN NFL Network and the family of ESPN Networks.
Look at you, Tom. Something extra in the paycheck right there. Look at you. Look at us.
You know, somebody somewhere.
Look at us in our brave new world right here. So look just over the steering wheel here. When do we start hearing AJ Brown rumors? Like, when does that hit, Tom?
It'll be right around, you know, the June 1st date at which the cap consequences change substantially here. I would tell you, as of a couple of days ago when I checked in, doesn't sound like there's been any communication, much less negotiation, on A.J. Brown since before the draft. Everybody knows what the timeline is. There's really no reason to reengage at this point. The Patriots, you know, had an offer that they made months ago for A.J. Brown. Again, it didn't make sense for the Eagles to do anything at that point because they would have been, you know, slapped with a $40 million dead cap charge in 2026. Now the question is, all right, if you're not talking about a 2026 pick, you're talking about a 2027 pick in a draft that it is stronger. You know, what does that compensation look like? Howie Roseman was looking originally for a similar type of price that he paid to get A.J. Brown 4 years ago from the Titans. He did not at that time have an offer that was comparable to that. You know, again, 2027 draft pick, there's a reason those were not really moved in this past draft, Rich, because this is a really good draft. But one of the team that got the highest 2027 pick just so happened to have been the Eagles, who have, you know, already additional capital in that draft. That's what they're going to be trying to move A.J. Brown for. Is it a one? That's hard to imagine. Is it a two? They could have had a two in this year's draft. There's still some moving parts, but it does still sound like the Patriots are the most likely team, if not the only team. Howie certainly could open it up and speak to others if somebody, let's say, has a need arise. And there's nothing to say, well, you have to take the best offer you have on June 2nd. This is Howie. He is going to make every phone call and get the most out of every deal. If he doesn't like what the Patriots offer is, whether that's today or in 3 weeks or in August, you know, he can also wait on this thing. But it does seem like we're headed toward resolution in the not too distant future. And it sounds like that resolution is going to be with A.J. Brown putting on a different uniform in 2027.
All right.
2026.
I did what's more likely today. You know, that's a Friday staple, as you will be sitting in this chair Monday and Tuesday next week. And then the following Tuesday, Wednesday,
that's
Susie
right.
will be sitting in this chair. I got the next couple of guest hosts, sitting right here on the show together. So just to wrap this up, Tom, what's more likely for you? Okay. What's more likely for you? Who, shows up first? Rodgers in Pittsburgh, AJ Brown in New England.
Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh is more likely to show up sooner. Because, and I've said this, Rich, for months on this show and elsewhere, the target date was never the draft. It was not the start of free agency. It was really May 18th for Aaron Rodgers. It was first day of OTAs. You want to max out the reps that you get on the field. This portion of the offseason, it's geared toward Will Howard and more recently Drew Aller in terms of the fundamental work that you get in phase one and phase two. Phase three is where you have a little bit more of a competitive environment, where a lot more of the players are present, though it sounds like they've had really good attendance so far in Pittsburgh. That's where, ideally, knowing how Mike McCarthy thinks, you'd want your starting quarterback to be there. You go all the way back to McCarthy's early days in Green Bay, 2006, and even more so in 2007. Brett Favre, who had spent off seasons on the tractor down in Mississippi for the better part of a decade, he showed up in 2007, not for all the OTAs, but for some of them. And that was part of a conversation that Mike McCarthy had with Brett Favre about, hey, we need to get everybody together here. It's important. I can't force you. It's voluntary and it remains voluntary, but it would be really good if you came. And I think Brett attended like 9 out of 12 sessions or something that offseason. They got on the same page with a new group, a bunch of young wide receivers. It was Greg Jennings and James Jones and guys like that, in addition to Donald Driver, that were in the room at that time. And they made a surprise run to the NFC Championship game. Rodgers is in a similar part of his career where for years now there's been an aspect of when is he going to show? Is he going to show? More recently, what team is he going to be on? If Aaron Rodgers is not there next week, that would be the first time to me that the dauber would begin to go up on, is Aaron Rodgers potentially not going to show up? I still believe that he is. I still believe he's going to sign. There is nothing that I have been told that makes me believe the contract is going to be an issue with Aaron Rodgers. It's going to be a one-year deal. It's going to have a two in front of it, I believe. It's a pretty straightforward type of thing because this is not about money for a player who's made close to $400 million in his career. At some point, the patience is going to run out. It certainly seems like the patience for Steelers fans, just based on the feedback I get every time I talk about Aaron Rodgers, may already be running out for some people. For Art Rooney, for Mike McCarthy, mm-hmm. who's trying to get the team ready on the field, that patience may be tested. I don't believe that that has happened yet. If they don't have something in place by the start of next week, I think that we get there. I know Rodgers was reported to be in town last week. There was never a meeting or a visit set up, at least from the Steelers' end, for him to come in. He wasn't in the building. Nobody talked to him. Does that change? You know, keep an eye on it over the next, let's say, 72 hours here. See if Aaron Rodgers ends up moving forward and giving the commitment to the Steelers, which is the one thing left. It's not the contract. It's not about any conspiracy theories. It's about Aaron Rodgers deciding, yes, I 100% am committed to playing football in 2026, and I'm going to put in the time to make sure that I and everybody around me is ready to roll.
Tom, you're the man. Thank you for the time. We'll see you here next week. Thanks again.
Be there on Monday. Can't wait.
That's the day that brought you and Rodgers showing up at the same time. How about that?
All right, Tommy.
May 18th, important.
But will he bring you breakfast? No. I'm just saying.
He probably won't.
TJ. Probably not. Yeah. Probably not.
He won't.
All right.
But maybe me and Tommy might go have lunch later.
Right. Yeah.
All types of things.
By the way, this is not a competition.
Honey, everything is a competition. Everything is a competition. Tom, this
like a even Tom is like, what's up with that?
He's got granola to spare.
You know,
sounds like there should be food for me.
I feel for you because Rich doesn't pay attention to me either. You know, there are just times I feel like I'm a mere supporting character in his universe. I even, after our discussion last week, I was encouraged to wear the Canadian tuxedo for this. Not one comment. Didn't even notice that I delivered and remembered to show up looking good in my finest denim. Nothing.
He just tried to get his attention, Tom. He just wanted him to shower you with a little love and affection. I mean, I get it. Because everyone knows how
bring croissants on Monday, Tom.
We're up against it. We're out of time.
Croissants.
Take care, Tom. Safe travel. That's Tom Pelissero, everybody. Looking great in his denim. Is that better?
Yeah. Just tell Tom how handsome he is, Rich. He just wants to hear
from his hair and his, I don't have donuts. I show up in denim.
Double denim.
I'm sick of granola.
Canadian tux. Right. Tom went Canadian tux on you, Rich.
All right. Let's take a break right here on the Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
Most protein drinks ask you to choose between results and taste. Bucked Up decided that's a ridiculous trade-off. Bucked Up makes lightly carbonated protein drinks, 25 grams of protein per can, clear protein, not milky or thick, and they taste so good that 25 grams of protein almost feels like a bonus. Bucked Up is so confident you'll love their drinks, they're giving away an island vacation just to prove it. That's the kind of brand this is. No purchase necessary. Giveaway ends May 30th. Enter and find your closest Bucked Up at buckedupenergy.com. Grab a Bucked Up and feel like a million bucks.
Need parts fast? O'Reilly Auto Parts has fast. Need them now? We've got now. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. We're O'Reilly Fast. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In a world in need of a hero, one man rises to the challenge in style. He is just driving the kids to soccer practice. Make every day feel epic in the all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid with up to an EPA-estimated 619 miles of range on select trims, advanced tech, and class-leading interior space. Because when you're hauling kids' gear, snacks, and backpacks, space matters and so does comfort. What would happen if the kids put the cleats on the seats, Suze? That'd be bad news. Right?
Yeah.
Thank you. I was just looking for confirmation.
Bad news.
The all-new Hyundai Palisade Hybrid. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for details. My New York accent just came back out there when I said interior.
Interior.
I heard that. Just slips
Dicky
out.
Dicky Eyes from Staten Island.
It just slips out.
Forget about it.
Sort of like James Harden's unstoppable game sometimes.
Man.
Listen, all everybody's talking about, though, Asar Thompson, he got fouled. He got fouled, and it happened right in front of Tony Brothers, and he swallowed his whistle.
He did, but you
He sure did. Jarrett Allen 100% fouled.
But you could also say that Thompson may have fouled Mitchell on the drive to the bucket.
You could say that. You could also say that there was one of the free throws that James Harden did make. He lane violated. When he shoots his free throws, he steps right into the lane. He
did.
So I guess you could do all that.
Here's the deal, though, Rich.
Yes.
The Pistons should not have lost that.
That is correct.
They were up by 15 at one point. They were
up by three possessions with about two and change.
Yeah, I had to rewind a little. I'm like, what just happened? How did they lose this?
But that was a foul at the end. That was not called, and we go to overtime, and then they lose it in overtime.
Okay, but then we go back to this point, right? Do you want the ref to swallow the whistle at the end of the game when it's that close?
The NFL has no problem doing that.
Yeah.
Ever.
No, but the officiating's been all over the place, both in the W and in the NBA. I mean, it's been all over the place.
It usually is, yeah.
Well, I mean, it's becoming just a more physical game in the W, obviously, in the NBA as well. But right in front of Tony Brothers, right in front of him, swallowed it. And now the Cavs go home with a chance to make the Eastern Conference Finals. Knicks fans very excited about that. Not like we want Cleveland, but they want games 1 and 2 in Madison Square Garden, which would not happen if the Pistons advance. And for the Pistons to have this dream season potentially go down the tubes due to 4 straight losses to the Cleveland Cavaliers. Because they don't forget, Pistons up 2-0. And Cleveland is yet to lose after losing game 2. A 9-0 run to end regulation. 9-0 to force overtime. And Harden? Getting it done. This is what he had to say afterwards about how he's performing. It's kind of crazy about, hey, you're actually performing, you know, Hall of Famer, you're performing well in the playoffs. Yeah, hit it.
This is new for me. So, like, we keep talking about, you know, like, I've only been here 2.5 months, you know what I mean? So, like, the things that we were going through is all new, you know? So, like, learning how to be, you know, a second option and feed and play off Donovan, you know, when to be aggressive, you know, when he has it going. Like last game, second half, like he did some things that we haven't seen in a very, very long time. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, and he's capable of doing that every single game. So, you know, finding when to be aggressive, when to be a playmaker and things like that. So, and then offensively finding what works for us, you know, for me to be successful, to get guys, you know, shots and open looks. So it all comes into together. And I think we're building in the right direction. And throughout that process, there's going to be some, you know, times where, you know, we don't look as great. But I think overall, we all got the right mindset of wanting to help each other be better. And, you know, I think we're finding that as of lately.
30 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 blocks and a steal. That'll get you a game 5 win on the road. We'll talk about it with Chris Webber in just a moment.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.